Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. Hi everyone and welcome to episode 80 of the English with Kirsty podcast. Today I want to talk about presentations, but not the type of presentations that you usually think about where you have to stand at the front of the room in front of your audience, but online presentations, which can be anything from delivering a webinar to delivering a presentation to a group of colleagues on a video conference or audio conference software, having to produce information for social media such as Facebook Live or a podcast perhaps, or YouTube videos or another kind of live streaming service. So really it's anything such as a webinar or something where the people are not in the same room as you. Because although some of the information and the tips that you find about giving presentations is relevant, whatever you're talking about, you know, like the content has to be engaging and you have to deliver it in an interesting way, there are some extra things that you need to think about if you're presenting online, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Because the more people are cutting down on travel or working with colleagues in other parts of the world or trying to reach a global audience, the more important these things are going to become. So first of all, think about who you're delivering this information for and how they're going to be receiving it, because that's important. You know, what are they going to be able to see? Maybe they won't be able to see anything because it's a podcast. Maybe they'll be able to see you if it's something like a Facebook Live or an audio YouTube Live. Maybe they will be able to see the information. If it's a webinar, you might have your slides up. So think about what they can see and what else they'll need as well. Do you need to do anything beforehand to give them information? For example, if it's something you want to present to your colleagues, then maybe you'll send them some documents in advance, but give them chance to read those documents before you start talking about them, because that will give them the chance to be to know what their questions are, but also to be familiar with what you're talking about. So I've got a number of things here and I'm just going to go through them. If you want to read this article, you can do so by going to the show notes page, which is www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast/episode80. And you can also leave me any comments there in the comments form. And you can also have a look, click through onto the blog post that's about this subject. So first of all, are you speaking to one or many? And because it will change the way you speak. You know, are you trying to speak directly to individual people on a podcast? Or are you speaking to a group of colleagues? Or are you speaking to a community? And someone gave me the advice that when I was doing podcasts, I shouldn't say hi everybody, because everybody isn't in the same place. They're just all over the place in their own rooms, and so it isn't necessary to speak to a group of people. But sometimes it is. You know, you're talking to people on a webinar, and then it is everybody, because you have a group of people gathered in the same place to listen to you. I don't think there's a right or wrong way of doing this, and I think the idea of trying to speak to individuals comes from the radio, where you really are speaking to individuals. But just think about what's relevant for your audience and try to be consistent with that. The second thing is this whole idea of talking to yourself in an empty room, because for some people that feels great, because you haven't got loads of people looking at you. You're just on your own, and it's not as intimidating as being in a big crowded room full of people who are trying to listen to you and understand what you want to say. So for some people, this idea of not being in the same place as the audience is fantastic. And to be honest, I don't mind public speaking, but I quite like it as well. I know that other people are going to consume this media, whether it's a live thing that I'm doing maybe on Facebook or something like this, the podcast, but you know, I don't have to be in the same place as them, and I quite like that. But for some people it feels really strange to be sitting in a room talking to yourself, and that's something that some people need to practice before they can feel comfortable with it. I think especially if you're speaking another language. I know for me it's something that I don't particularly like, listening to myself speaking German. I haven't got a problem with doing it in English, but yeah, I'd rather not listen to myself speaking German, even though I know I can do it. So if you are presenting in a language other than your native language, then it does take a bit of practice sometimes before you feel comfortable listening to yourself speaking that language and delivering content in that language. So give yourself some chances to practice before the main event. Don't expect that you'll be able to do it first time if you do feel nervous about this and you haven't done it before. So give yourself some practice time. And if it helps, present in front of your dog or cat, or imagine that you're not on your own, or try to imagine if it helps to think of people there, then do that as well. But try not to feel intimidated by this big empty room, because it's still going to be, people are still going to be listening in the end, so don't think about the physical problems of nobody actually being there. And that's the same because you can't see the people's faces. For example, if you're on a webinar or something like that, you can see how many people have signed up and are in the webinar room, but you can't see their faces. And sometimes the fact that nobody's there can be quite off-putting. But if, especially if you're going to repurpose this content, don't spend the first 10 or 15 minutes saying, oh, I wonder who's here, can everybody see me, can everybody hear me, especially if you're doing a YouTube live, because there's nothing more annoying than people then posting that to YouTube, and then you have to wade through the initial, I've seen it go on for 10 minutes, somebody, oh, can everybody hear me, can everybody see me. If you really want to know if everybody can see you, then log on to the broadcast with another device, but don't make people wait while you're saying that again and again, because it's a bit boring. But try not to look at, if it is something that's live, try not to look at how many people are coming in and going out, because people do. It would be rude to keep walking in and out of somebody's meeting if it were a face-to-face meeting, but people do, especially something like Facebook Live as well. They will come in and out, and so try not to be distracted by that, because it will take your focus away from what you're actually talking about. And, you know, it's more important the people that are still there than the one who's left, so try and focus on them and not to be constantly looking at those numbers. If there's nobody there, then you won't know. Like now, I don't know how many people are going to listen to this podcast until I put it out, and then a week later see the go and check the stats. But you have to imagine that you are talking to people and that you're not just talking to yourself. Number three, because you can't see the audience and how they're responding to you, whether they're falling asleep or really engaged, you do need to have some way of getting audience feedback, especially if you're giving some kind of training, because you want to make sure that people can understand what you're talking about. It may be that you don't want questions throughout your presentation, which is fine, but at least give people some way of interacting with you. Maybe ask for questions at the end, or maybe say that people can put their questions in the chat and you'll come back to it. Because then at least they have the opportunity to ask if they don't understand anything, or to get some more clarification about one of the points you made, and you can come back to that afterwards. If it's something that's likely to be really busy, like a big webinar or something with a lot of people there, then you may want to get somebody to help you with that. So to pull out the main questions, you know, if the questions have been repeated a number of times, just to pull them out once and to give you a list at the end of what people actually want to know, because then you don't have to keep looking at the chat or wade through a long chat at the end. And similarly, if people are being annoying in the chat or being disruptive, then you've got somebody who can help you with that, and you don't have to think about managing the chat as well as delivering your presentation. If it's something with your colleagues, then obviously you need to work out how you're going to do that, if there are going to be questions throughout your presentation or at the end. And if it's something where there is no interaction, then give people the option of contacting you in some way. So if it's a podcast like with mine, I've got the contact form on each show notes page, or you can direct people to your social media, or you can give them an email address. But some way of, if people didn't understand something or they want further information, or maybe they want to work with you, then they have the chance to contact you if they can't do it live. And also with live broadcasts, if you're going to use that content again, then this applies as well. So how can people who weren't there at the live event find out more or contact you or request further information? So just think about that if you're planning to use the content again. It's also a way to make sure that you're that people are understanding what you're saying, because if you've got no feedback, you don't know if people love what you're saying or if you're going into too much detail. Maybe you've pitched it wrongly and you won't know that unless you get some feedback from them. So are you covering ground that they already know? You know, it's always good to ask for feedback as you're going through, because then you don't leave anybody behind, but also you don't give too much information about things that they already know, because if you do that, they'll get bored and they'll switch off. Number four, think about your speed and delivery. So I wasn't somebody that was concerned about public speaking or presenting information. I'd done it before quite a few times, but the first time I did it online, it felt completely different, and I hadn't done it before. I'd had a couple of technical problems at the beginning, and the presentation that twice before had taken me 45 minutes only took me 35 minutes when I delivered it online. So I lost 10 minutes, 10 whole minutes, by speaking faster than I needed to, which is something I need to work on. And I think it has got easier now that I do the podcast. But you really need to think about the speed of your delivery, especially if the people aren't in the same room as you, because you need to make it as easy as possible for them to follow what you're saying. And that will be really difficult if you're galloping through your presentation really quickly. And I know it's hard for people who naturally speak quite quickly. I'm one of them. And especially if you're delivering in a language that isn't your native language. I do this even more if I'm delivering information in German. And it's not fair to the audience. I know we don't do it on purpose, but it's not fair because it makes it harder for the audience to understand you. So even if you feel nervous, try not to gallop through to the end to get it over with as quickly as possible, because then you're not, you know, you spend time preparing this presentation, and if you speed through it, then people won't be able to understand you and you'll have wasted yours and their time, and that's not a good thing. Number five, additional materials. So if you're doing some kind of teleconference or video conference for your colleagues, you'll probably send them some documents in advance, or your slides at the end of a presentation, something like that. But if it's something for people that you don't know, then how can they get further information? Have you got some kind of handout that they can get access to or sign up for? Is there something on your blog or your website where they can get further information? Because sometimes people don't absorb everything you tell them straight away, and it's good to have some kind of resource like a checklist or additional information, so something that they can go back to and remind themselves of what happened during the presentation or during the event. Number six, the people aren't in the same room as you, but the room that you're in still needs to be a good place. So you need it to be quiet, you need to minimize interruptions. Okay, if you're doing a podcast, you can edit out if the doorbell rings or something like that, but if it's live, it's harder, I understand that. But just try to do all you can to make sure that people don't come bursting into your room, or that other loud things don't happen when you're trying to present. And also things that you maybe zone out of, then like a ticking clock can be really annoying to somebody that isn't used to being in your room with the ticking clock. So think about what might be a distraction for other people. Make sure the lighting's right if it's something with video, and think about how it sounds in your room. Are there any noises that would potentially distract someone? And number seven is really about, after you finish, be smart about how you repurpose the content. Because if you've created something really good, then there are ways that you can get twice as much value out of it. So if you've done a webinar presentation, maybe that could become an ebook as well. If you've done a podcast, then maybe that could become a blog post, or the other way around. Because a lot of my podcast listeners don't read the blog, and a lot of the blog readers don't listen to the podcast. So you can reach a wider audience by repurposing the content and making it appropriate. But I think that is the key point there, being appropriate. So, you know, you can pull short pieces of text out of your blog post and make them into tweets, but they have to make sense on their own. Otherwise, it's just random sentences. For example, I've seen some people doing Blab interviews when Blab used to be around, and then uploading that as a podcast because it made sense. It was a full conversation and it was something that was interesting for the podcast listeners to listen to as well. And the same could happen if you had some kind of, if you did some kind of webinar or something, that might work as a podcast. What doesn't work so well is something that relies heavily on interaction from the people that are there. So people, there was one example where somebody uploaded a Periscope onto their podcast and they were stopping every 2 minutes. Oh, hi, I'm glad you're here. How are you? And then going back to what they were saying. And it was so boring, because for somebody that wasn't part of that interaction, it's just completely unnecessary. What are you here to present? Do that. Don't keep stopping every 2 minutes. Maybe it was fine on Periscope, but it really didn't work for the podcast. So just to be aware of what works and what doesn't in terms of repurposing content. And finally, the other thing that I've seen that doesn't work so well is people trying to turn podcasts into blogs and then just running it through some kind of automated voice recognition, which A, doesn't always work very well, and B, it doesn't cut out any of the filler words or any of the half-finished sentences, and it just looked a mess. So I understand that people want to make their podcast content available to people that want to read it as well, but if you're going to do that, then it is best to do it properly, or to at least tidy up the file first, because otherwise it doesn't reflect very well on the business or the person who's doing that. And on that note, I just wanted to mention that English with Kirsty does have an audio transcription service. So for people, if you've got if you've got podcasts, or you've done webinars, or you've done Facebook Lives or YouTube videos, and you want to repurpose that content to make it into a blog or an ebook or something like that with written material, then I do offer that service. So if you're interested in that, then you can go to the show notes page and you'll find more information about it there. And there is a 20% off discount starting today, which is the 16th of February 2017, going to the 16th of March 2017. So the code and the information will be on the show notes page, which again is englishwithkirsty.com/podcast/episode80. And also on there, if this service isn't relevant to you, but you do want to support the podcast, I do have the Amazon links, the affiliate links for England and Germany, or UK and Germany. So if you want to use those, it doesn't cost you any more, but it means that I make a small commission if you make any purchases on Amazon. So I hope these tips are useful. If you can think of any more, then let me know in the comments, because I can update the page if people suggest any more tips, and we can put them on there. And yeah, I hope that was useful. Have a good week and have fun learning English. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.